Listeners, and welcome to another hour of Advanced Living Radio. This is Kenneth Lesser, thrilled and delighted to be your host again today. And you know, we've made a commitment with Advanced Living Radio. We're here to, week after week, to do some things that are going to be in support of better living. Why? Because I pray on a daily basis, Heavenly Father, show me the best ways to have the most fun inspiring the largest number of people to easily, naturally, joyously experience vibrantly, exquisitely healthy, wealthy, passionate living in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives so we can all get our needs met and celebrate a global loving community that works for everyone. So, yes. That's the whole intention underlying every week's show, and we are in for a big treat today. And before we get started, to let you know, the show is brought to you by AdvancedLiving.com. When you get a chance, go check out AdvancedLiving.com. You'll see an item called the Comfort Technology. It's a tiny plug-in unit. We call it the Clark Kent clock with superpowers, because when you plug it in, it's like having the Dalai Lama show up and meditate in your room. Now, check that out and get ready. Wrap yourself into your seat, because if you don't, you're going to float off in joy and bliss. We are in for an amazing time today. You know somewhere within you that you have some healing ability. You've touched on that. You know it's natural and innate how a cut will heal itself. Well, what about if you could actually be your own shaman, huh? Yeah, wouldn't that be fun? Well, today's guest, Deborah King, is going to share with us some amazing things. And what a coincidence, the book she just wrote is entitled Be Your Own Shaman. Now you're going, Deborah King, you may not have heard of her, and if you have, oh, you're in for a treat. If you haven't, well, so what? This is just a place to be right now. Deborah King is a New York Times best-selling health and wellness author and a master healer, and she was a successful attorney in her 20s when a diagnosis of cancer sent her on a search for the truth that radically changed her life. She was unwilling to undergo invasive surgery, so she turned to alternative medicine and had an amazing remission at the hands of a healer. And along the way, she conquered the alcohol and drug addictions she had used to bury an abusive childhood. How many of us have heard of abusive childhood and been through them? Yeah. And she left the corporate arena for the mysterious world of healers, sages, and shamans. Oh, boy. And Deborah mastered ancient and modern healing systems and ultimately used that to develop her own powerful healing techniques. And her new book, Be Your Own Shaman, Heal Yourself and Others with 21st Century Medicine, takes us on a one-of-a-kind journey into powerful esoteric world of healing. We're going to learn some stuff here today, and you're going to want her book to go further. And she recently, just before this book, her national bestseller, Truth Heals, What You Hide Can Hurt You. And it explores the relationship between the suppression of painful emotions and their impact on health and happiness. And Deborah travels worldwide helping thousands of people to transform their lives through her experiential workshops, her online training program, 21st Century Medicine, and she just attracts those who want to become healers for themselves and others. She hosts the popular weekly Hay House radio show, and you can find her, of course, easily at the website of DeborahKingCenter.com. Well, let's get down to some fun now. Hello, Deborah.
All right. Yeah, I'm delighted to be here.
Thank you. Now, for those of us that we may have heard the term shaman, but I don't know if it's really been explained to a lot of us. So what's a shaman? Can anyone become a shaman?
You know, Ken, it really, that's the interesting thing, is we all have that potential. It's deeply buried in our cellular memory. At one point, several thousand years ago, we were all shamanic, and we've carried some of that forward into the present. You know, sometimes you have those extraordinary powers where you know someone's calling before the phone's rung, or you know your child's sick before the school calls, or you know your partner's, you know, having a relationship with someone else. You know, we sense these things. We have extrasensory abilities. Those are very shamanic abilities. So essentially, a shaman is someone who's cleared their own energy field, their own self, to such an extent that they're a clear channel or a clear vessel. And if you clear it enough, you can become a vessel of healing for others. So that's how shamanhood works.
Wow. Okay. So this is great. Now, we hear a lot about this term energy medicine, and I'm wondering if you could give us your take on that.
I can, and it, by the way, it's the subtitle of my new New York Times best-selling book, Be Your Own Shaman. It's subtitled 21st Century Energy Medicine and you know, How It Can Heal You. So when we think about energy, today we think of things like X-ray or infrared or the Internet, for example, is a super example of energy at work. And when we think of medicine, well, that means something that transforms us, especially with regard to our health. So in this case, the energy is the medicine, and that's how it works, and it's very, very, very effective.
Mm. Wow, I love it. This is exciting. And now, just recently, I watched an old movie, Ghostbusters, and in it, they were going after one of these ghosts, and one of the guys got slimed, and that expression comes up now sometimes if we're thinking about the world of energy vampires or being around some hard-to-be-around people. And I'm wondering if you'd help us understand a little bit in these intense times about what it can feel like when you've been slimed by someone or like an energy vampire kind of thing?
I can. I have spent a fair amount of time working in the field of what I call psychic attack, or certainly negative energy, and it comes in all flavors, and it comes in different levels. There isn't a one of us that hasn't experienced the lowest level variety, and I didn't steal this term from Ghostbusters, but I call it slime. It's a very scientific term. And you know, but you know when you've encountered it, when you've picked it up, because you felt fine, and then you have an email from somebody that's unpleasant, or you have a phone conversation with someone that's unpleasant, or you bump into a friend on the street that's having a bad day, and they you know, tell you all their troubles, and the next thing you know, you leave them, and you just don't feel the same. You don't feel good, and you've been slimed. And it's the lowest level there is of psychic attack, and it's a fairly easy thing to undo. And in the book, Be Your Own Shaman, I tell you just how to go about undoing that, an easy way to do it. I won't steal the thunder from the book and tell you now. Also, Ken, if people go to my Facebook page, Deborah King, and that's D-E-B-O-R-A-H, it's the old-fashioned Deborah, but if you just like the Facebook page, it'll take you to a whole series of really fun apps inside Facebook where I describe a shamanic technique for handling slime. So either way, you know, the book or the app, and you'll get lots of fun information.
Okay. Now, are you talking about is this being slimed? Is that similar to what we might call someone's negative energy?
Oh, it's negative energy, all right. And we all have moments or days when we're projecting negative energy onto other people. And the way to avoid that is to stay clear yourself, and the best ways to stay clear are to meditate. That would be my first suggestion, and I'm really big on meditation. I find it to be, for myself, it's the most life-transforming thing I ever did, the most important thing I ever did, way beyond my law degree, which is, you know, an important accomplishment. But meditation is way higher than that. If you're up, it brings you to the middle. If you're low, it brings you, you know, to center. It rejuvenates you. It recharges you. It clears you. It turns the clock back. You know, we're all focused on youth these days, and meditation is the one thing that will definitely make you look and feel younger. And it also offers all this clarity. And so you're less likely to go out and project negative energy onto other people when you're that clear.
Ah, yeah. Yeah, we didn't ever see Mr. Rogers on his show getting cranky with anybody.
That's right. He must have been meditating.
Yeah, yeah. He kept himself in a really good space. Well, this is kind of fun. Now, it's an interesting contrast when you put this emphasis of, you know, about meditation. And I was just thinking of there you were as an attorney, which is all about structure. What do we do about this and that and every little tiny detail of all kinds of situations, and then into meditation, where that's, to me, very free form and open.
I think that's probably accurate. I think law is very linear and left brain and very structured, and meditation is very intuitive and free-flowing and connecting.
Yeah. So it's just interesting that you have the yin and the yang as part of your foundation that's brought you to this place of amazing ability to help support others, and then now kind of lining us up and going, look, you know, see what I did? And just as in John 14:12, Christ said, well, look at these miracles I've done, these and greater than I've done shall ye do. And here you are helping us to fulfill that.
That's a very astute observation.
Well, I appreciate it very much, just every chance we have to reach out into that direction. It's so, so very helpful to us, especially now. There's been all this intense stuff coming up. I mean, Osama bin Laden, global warming, I mean, all these disasters. There's the way the country's been run, global politics. There's more than a few people that are angry. And what I'm wondering is, can you help with any shamanic stuff that you could talk about? I'm sure it's in your book about getting rid of some anger when you're just feeling that, or even been betrayed by, I love the term you use, a fremeny.
Well, and haven't we all had that experience where, you know, someone we thought was our friend turns out not to be a friend? You know, there's so many classic examples. Maybe you had somebody that said bad things about you that you worked with that said bad things to the boss, or the classic, of course, is the partner who turns on you and, you know, the friend who steals your partner. I mean, there's just so many ways, so many times we've all had that frenemy experience. And that's another, Ken, that's another level of psychic attack is what it is, and that one's higher than slime for sure. And there are so many ways we can undo this. The major ways that I've discovered were studying shamanic methods in Mexico and South America. They're very attuned there to the energy field and to keeping it, your energy clear and sending it out and not allowing in negative energy. And in Be Your Own Shaman, I do teach a number of techniques for higher levels of negative energy than slime. For example, there's cords. And cords are streamers that we send one another in relationship. We all do it. It's totally normal. It's a good thing. That's our parents send us energy before we're even born. And, you know, what it's what sustains us. And we have cords, good cords. We have bad cords. And in Be Your Own Shaman, I help people learn how to distinguish the good from the bad and what to do with the bad ones and how to undo that dynamic. And not be so a prey to the energy of others, which can be very depleting.
Yeah, yeah. Now, what's so interesting is you were talking about some good cords. I've been attempting to practice some of the things in your book about letting impressions come to me. And as you were saying good cords, I got an image of the scene from the old cartoon Lady and the Tramp, where the two dogs are sitting in the Italian restaurant and they're sharing a bowl of pasta, and each one is drawing the noodles in, and they reach the point where they're pulling in the same noodle and it pulls them together and they kiss. And I thought, okay, well, here's the external cord of the spaghetti of the pasta, and I'd love to see
you
do a version of it where it shows the other cords that they were attaching with each other.
Uh-huh. Very
because
cute, yeah.
That, to me, would be a wonderful romantic form of I don't know if you call
of
it positive. Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing about cords. There's good energy in them, and we don't want to extinguish it or return it. We want to keep that loving energy we got from our parent or our friend or our sibling or, you know, whomever, our partner. So I'm all for that. I just teach people how to undo the negative part of it.
Ah, wow. Well, that's and who hasn't out there been through more than a few relationships over the years where things didn't work out? And I'm guessing because we sometimes talk about this thing back to Lady and the Tramp, puppy love. Okay, they had an example of puppy love, but. Sometimes people seem to diminish the youthful love events that we had that didn't work out. But I'm wondering if those are just as intense in terms of what they mean to us as some of us as an adult.
Oh, well, absolutely. And don't you think so? And I want to tell you there are higher levels of negative energy beyond courting. Also, those are techniques that I teach that are a little bit beyond the book, Be Your Own Shaman. So I teach those in my school, my online virtual. I have a virtual learning center and a school where I teach people to heal themselves, and then they get good enough at it. They become shamanic enough. They can, you know, take these skills and heal others and become certified. And one of the things that I teach there is how to handle a vector force, which is a higher level of negative intent. It's where somebody's really wishing you not well, wishing you evil. It's somewhat voodoo-like.
I was just going to say that's voodoo. Okay.
Yeah, it is voodoo-like, and I teach techniques to undo that dynamic. It's a little stronger.
Hmm. Okay. And now we go to the DeborahKingCenter.com and to find this?
Right. It's called 21st Century Energy Medicine. This is the name of my program. And most of it's an online experience. It's pretty cool. It used to be people would fly in from all over the world to study with me. And that's wonderful, except it's economically not very feasible. And so what I did here a year ago was I took all of my... And I'm just so big on the Internet, I have to say. I think it's another step up for us consciously, the way we all can connect via Facebook and, you know, through websites. And so I took all of my knowledge and all my training, and I put it in a program. And you sign up today, you'll start today. It starts when you start, and you get an audio every week that, you know, tells you about some topic. For example, maybe I'm teaching that week how to undo a vector force, you know. So you'd get an audio about it. You'd get a lot of images. I would send you a document that had images in it that you could download and look at. I would send you questions to see how well you understood the material, so you would know if you got it or not. And then I'd send you an activity to do for the week, because I really believe it, all of this stuff is experiential. You must experience it. And so I would probably teach you how to undo a vector of force that week. And then next week we'd tackle a whole new subject.
Hmm. Oh, okay. Now, when someone goes to your website, and then is that under products that they find it? Or
I think it's right on the home page in the left-hand corner, and I think it says 21st Century Energy Medicine.
Oh,
if I'm
good.
Not mistaken.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's pretty easy to find.
All right. Well, great. Well, that'll be important, because we want to make it easy for folks to go to your website and find these different resources that you have, and to be
yeah.
and to know that that I love it. So someone can fit this into their schedule anytime that works for them. Is that right?
Yes. I'm just looking at. I went to look. I was curious about where it was myself. It's in the bottom left-hand corner. And it says, 21st Century Energy Medicine Program, want to learn how to heal yourself, want to learn how to heal others, click here for info.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
That's great.
I want to tell your listeners one thing about my book. It was such a big seller the first 2 weeks out that they actually ran out of copies. Really incredible thing. Never heard of such a thing, but they did. Yeah, and so I want to assure them when they click on it at Amazon or Barnes & Noble, two things. One is it is available. It says it isn't, but they just arrived yesterday, and so they'll be shipping them out on Monday. So not to be concerned when they go to pick up a book. And, you know, it's such a bargain, Ken. It's cheaper than lunch. I think it's like $13 or $14. The important thing when they order the book is to order a hard copy. This is one book. As much as I love e-books, this is one book you really want to hold in your hands. Two reasons. One is I'm trained shamanically how to impress energy into objects, and I've actually impressed a special healing energy into the book itself. So it's really important they actually hold the book. And then secondly, it's such a good reference book. There's an exercise or a practice every chapter, and that way they can, you know, have it right in their hands when they're going to refer to it for doing an exercise. Mm. So be sure to order a hard copy, and don't be dissuaded by the apparent difficulty getting it, because both Barnes & Noble and Amazon do have them now.
Okay, great. Well, that's important.
Yeah.
Because those are two easy resources that we often turn to, and it's nice to know we can go there. Wow. All right, and I know I'm going to be enjoying going through, and there's just such a both a depth and a breadth of things, stimulating information about the path of healing, and seeing about Mary Baker Eddy and some of the different Alice Bailey names that I hadn't heard of in a while, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, I'm just picking up on so many important things. So, this is what a resource in this beautiful book that you've done. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. And with a man with your breadth of interest and education and enthusiasm, I bet seeing those healers, those are all contemporary healers' names you just mentioned that I do talk about in Be Your Own Shaman. It's a fun, quick look at, you know, well, who's accomplished the major healing here in the last couple hundred years? Yeah, but of course, what these people that have succeeded in the West have done is they've looked at the greatest healer that's been around in the last 2,000 years. That's the Christ, of course. And no one's risen to his ability. I mean, just think about it. It's one thing to walk on water. Actually, that's not as hard as you might think, to master your own energy field and learn to control it. It's quite another, though, to be able to change the energy fields and bodies of other people. Much harder to do, much, much harder. And he not only did that, but did it over 40 times, did it to groups. I mean, think about that for a minute. Imagine being able to heal a group of people, like a group of lepers.
Yeah.
Truly, truly amazing. So the healers that I've studied with or studied, if they were long gone, in the last 100 years, are all people who I figured out have managed to merge with the Christ energy field to such an extent that they're able to heal others. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I love this. And I might find in the book, because I still have to go further into your book, but what's coming to me is something beautiful in terms of some of the male energy of a Christ, of a Buddha, and then Mary Baker Eddy, Alice Bailey, some of the amazing women now, including yourself. And there's been this rift between male and female energy, the battle of the sexes. And by gosh, I'm just getting this sense that through being your own shaman, the men and women can reach a place of healing within themselves where we won't be having the battle of the sexes go on and on.
Oh, wow. That's another very astute observation. You are totally correct, of course, because true power comes from a merging of the masculine and feminine attributes. And any time we don't have a balance between them, we're disempowered to some degree. So for, 4,000 or 5,000 years, we've had too much of the male attribute and not enough of the nurturing, intuitive feminine attribute. And as we all know, that's all changing here since about the year 2000. I've really noticed an uptick in the feminine attributes. So we're coming back to a point of balance and a point of great power.
I love it. Now, myself and many others out there in the path of our lives and some of the emotional pains that we've gone through, the term a broken heart comes up. And what's so interesting is I was picking up on something in your book about a correlation between a broken heart and heart disease. And I'm wondering if you could share a little about that.
Oh, well, they're directly related. And I think we all instinctively know that. I think we know that, it's no coincidence when maybe a friend of ours gets a bitter divorce and the next thing they start to have problems with their blood pressure. We all sense that there's definitely a connection. And, of course, the heart muscle is right there by the heart chakra. And when we have heartbreak, we actually get a little crack in our heart chakra, something that, someone in my field can sense. And you don't heal that soon enough, or you block your heart so you won't have the feelings of pain. And the next thing you know, you've got cardiovascular issues. So the other, they're directly connected.
Okay, and so by doing some of the shamanic energetic work of dealing with some of these things, which would tie us kind of a little bit back in, wouldn't it, to your previous book of Truth Heals?
It does indeed, and my two books do tie together in that regard. I think of them as being very dissimilar, but there's some important information in my first book, Truth Heals, especially if you're interested in looking at yourself from a chakra point of view. If you're curious about, well, which emotions am I experiencing that are skewing which chakra, that are causing which physical symptom? That's kind of the path that book takes. It gives you that three-way connectiveness of going from your emotion, so like maybe you're depressed, let's use the example you just gave. You've had a breakup, and you haven't fully processed the pain in your heart, and so you're feeling closed and depressed. That could very well close your heart chakra and then manifest it as itself as high blood pressure. See, that would be a real typical result. And so in Truth Heals, I help people see all those connections and then explain to them how to change that.
Wow. Wow. This is excellent. And with in our country, I mean, heart disease is so major. And so here we are talking about something that's so important, opening a pathway to love and healing our heart physically.
Well, Ken, and think about why our heart disease rate is so high. I mean, I know medical establishment is going to put their finger diet and exercise probably, and those things do matter. But I think much more important is our high divorce rate, more than 50%, and the fact that we no longer have extended families. You know, I'm just as guilty as the next guy. We move all over the country, so we don't have that heart connection to grandma and grandpa who live, you know, two blocks away. They probably live, you know, 10 states away now, and we never see them. And we just don't have the extended family that gives some warmth to the heart.
Yeah, and it's sort of like I'm seeing a reaching out through this thing we call Facebook friends as a way to try to fill that gap, but it doesn't quite do it.
Yeah, but I do think it helps. I actually think Facebook has some really important energetic benefits.
Good.
Yeah.
So it's not the same as actually being there, but it's still much better than not connecting to people.
It's a really a strong way to connect. Really surprising.
Ah, okay. Well, that's important to, you know, to say, okay, if you can't, your life situation doesn't allow you to have that extended family physically there, then use the power of the internet, use Facebook, use Twitter, and be able to connect with people that way. All right.
Right. Right. Oh. Yeah.
Well, hooray! One more to the good. Now, I'm also wondering, because another big area for the people are dealing with our country, obesity is huge. And I'm wondering what you might be able to share about energy medicine or shamanic techniques for dealing with changing our body's shape and weight.
That's a really interesting question. First of all, I'm used to working with individuals, so I rarely generalize, because a person's obesity could be caused by a first chakra problem, and someone else's might be having a third or fourth or second or, you know, some other source entirely. But I do see some patterns. One of the most common patterns I see with women is often they've not dealt with abuse. That women are, let's face it, to a great extent, as children, they're prey. They are, the statistics for abuse, sexual, emotional, physical, are huge for men and women, boys and girls. And one of the best ways that we think of to protect ourselves against that is to gain weight. We just think we'll get, you know, less likely get abused. We'll, you know, put some protection on. So that's one of the most common causes of overweight that I see.
Wow. And
surprising, huh?
Yeah, it really is. And I'm just noticing on your website here under products, I'm seeing a shamanic pendulum kit and talking about a full-color chakra chart. And I'm just thinking, boy, wouldn't this be handy for people as they're learning some of your shamanic techniques and being able to be their own shaman to start to figure out, okay, I've got this issue, I've got that issue, where is it located? Would this help them to do that?
Yeah, it does help, and I'll tell you how. Is it, you use the pendulum for two reasons, and my pendulum comes with instructions. So, first off, it teaches you how to connect better to your higher self, which is essentially what Freudian would call your unconscious, and that has a source of, you know, great information for you, and a lot of, you know, real good and intuitive information, and so. If you learn to use a pendulum, and it's much like learning a musical instrument, it's just a matter of practice. Anybody can learn how, just, you know, if you're patient enough. Pretty soon it gives you information about you, what where to live, what apartment to rent, who to date, you know, questions that we often feel we need to ask someone else. You may be able to get the answers inside with a little help from a pendulum. And then secondly, I teach using a pendulum to learn what a chakra is doing. Is it open? Is it closed? Is it healthy? Is it not so healthy? Where is it? Lots of people, you know, have a hard time learning to feel for their location because they're not in the same place on everyone's body's different. And a pendulum can really back up that information and give you an idea of where it is. Oh, it can't be here because there's no movement. It must be an inch higher, and you know, here you get movement. Ah. So yeah, they're very helpful.
Wow. And
I should tell you, Ken, the ones that I carry are, I searched all over the world for them because I don't want people to use metal or, oh, God forbid, crystal. It takes lots and lots and lots of training to learn how to use those. So what I encourage people to do is get a beechwood conical-shaped pendulum that is the best shape for these two functions, that they give you the most valid information with the least amount of interference. And I've blessed them all so that, you know, they come out, they arrive.
Mm. Wow. Deborah? Oh, golly. I think we've lost your voice on the call. Ouch. Well, we want to get this back on the air as quickly as possible.
BBSRadio.com. If it's not mainstream, it could be here. Information and knowledge. Brain. Humanity closer to truth.
Hello again. Apologies for the technical difficulty as we at the station are upgrading the communication system so that this kind of interruption won't be happening. And just thank you for your patience, beloved listeners, and thank you, Deborah, for hanging in there through this. You were making mention about some of what you do with this wonderful shamanic pendulum and to caution us that while you could use crystals or use plumb bobs and different things, that there's reasons when you're getting started to stick with something simple like you have, and also not only simple, but something that's been really blessed and put forward with some energy so that we can bring that into our lives too.
Yeah, that's really true, Ken. And then I also want to tell your listeners that they can also try making their own pendulum. You know, they get a little round, evenly shaped piece of wood, tie a string to it, make it about, I'm going to say 5 to 7 inches long. And that's another way to approach it.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. So, to me, this is such a beautiful way. I know when I studied with Reverend Hannah Kroger and became an ordained healing minister in her church in the early 1980s, she taught us the use of pendulum and dowsing. And so.
Wow, you've got quite a background.
Yeah. It's been interesting for sure. this is really great to see these different resources that people can utilize along with your two wonderful books to help us to really start to claim and reclaim that part of ourselves that knows what's going on. And to me, what a happy homecoming that is. It's not like going out I finally found the right church or the right group of people. I mean, those are nice things to find, but what's exciting for me is you're helping lead us back home to ourselves.
You know, absolutely. That's really true. Because the answers the answers are within, and it's just so hard to realize that. I remember being young and being certain that somebody else must have the answer, not me.
Yeah.
So it takes a lot of work and a lot of tools. I encourage people, get some tools in their toolbox. And I give tool after tool after tool in all my work, but certainly in my book, Be Your Own Shaman.
Yeah. Well, and then let's see, once again, want to make sure those that may have just been tuning in, they can find all this information at your website. And we're spelling your name Deborah the old-fashioned biblical way, Deborah, and then kingcenter.com, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Can I have lots of free materials on my website, lots and lots of things they can download and print out. I have a chart and all kinds of goodies. I also have a lot of things on my Facebook page. So all they have to do is go there and like the page, and everything just becomes available to them.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, great. So there's some resources. No matter where you're at in your budget, folks, you can afford that.
That's such a problem for people today, the economy. Oh, isn't that awful? People are having such a hard time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I really, really try to make all... A lot of products are free. A lot of my workshops are, and I really try to make things affordable. I'll tell you a funny story. So I worked real hard to write and do all the audios and all the work for the online program I was talking about a little bit ago, my 21st Century Energy Medicine program.
Yeah.
And I turned it into the developer and with the price on it, for the student, and she said, "You've left off a zero." I said, "She thought I was a typo." I said, "No, truly, I want to make it that affordable." She's horrified.
Oh wow!
But I think that's what we need to do to make things really available to people.
Yeah, yeah, and something really think that's a wonderful position to take, because this is essential information that can guide a person's entire life and their relationships.
And it sounds like you're quite a guide yourself, that you have a lot of important wisdom that you're passing down to people.
Well, we want to be able to validate. To me, one of the tributes that I think we can all pay to our parents, to our ancestors, to those that came before us, is to contribute to make this world a better place, so that their lives had some importance, some meaning. Because we, at least my belief is that we all come here wanting to love and wanting to have a beautiful life, and we know the planet is in peril, and many people have fallen short, but they still wanted the same thing in their hearts. So.
Uh-huh.
So to me, anytime we can do something like that, it's not only for us, it's for all humanity throughout time and space.
Totally, you're totally correct.
And that's pretty fun when you think about it.
Yeah. You know, I really encourage people when they come to see me at public events. I always have worked with a lot of audience volunteers up on the stage, and one of the principal things I do with them is connect them to their guides. Often they are ancestors. I mean, more than half the time, maybe two-thirds of the time, it's an ancestor. It's someone that maybe was just a generation back in their family tree, or maybe way back in their family tree. Someone who really wants to help them, and all they have to do after that, the guide's been standing there the whole time, just waiting to be asked, because they don't act voluntarily. They do need to be requested.
Ah.
And then they're anxious to help us. And you can get a guide for this and a guide for that. I have a grandparent who's great at helping me on finding freeway exits. You know, it's just amazing. Yeah, they'll have talents. And I worked for a while with John of God, who you and your listeners are probably familiar with, the Brazilian healer.
Yes.
And when I came back from his space, I inadvertently, not intentionally, but I'd worked with a couple of guides there that are his, that are deceased physicians, probably about 100 years earlier, and brought them back. So I use them now whenever I want to do fifth level work where I need a surgeon.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's just amazing that you know, this is available to everyone.
And one of the things, too, when someone is may not know, and I don't know if you help guide people to know, okay, I'm connecting with someone. Someone's getting some input. How do we know if it's one of our guides or some energy out there that's trying to influence us that might not be in our best interest?
I think most people can tell. I can always reassure them of what it is and who it is, but I think most of us have a pretty good instant. And it's those instant hits you get that are the important ones. If you have to think about it, the information you're getting is probably not too valid. It's coming from your mind, which is notoriously prone to being mistaken. But those flashes we get, those instant hits that are, you know, from our coming from our gut, or coming from our center, or coming from our third eye, coming from our crown. That's the stuff that's really valid.
Okay, and that's what you refer to in your book as the no mind versus the mind.
Oh, absolutely. That's right. Yes. It feels like you're in a state of where you're not thinking. That's why I call it no mind.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just being and receiving and flowing.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's so that's kind of a nice thing for us to realize. If it doesn't feel like that, then we might check a little bit further and see, oh, this might be the mind. Versus this easy-flowing grace of the no-mind place.
Right, and again, it's the one that comes quickest without any effort.
Okay, okay. So
when we try, when we make an effort and we try, we're usually coming from our mind.
Good. All right, that's an important thing for
distinction
us to remember. Yeah, and I want to also make mention, because you are a big fan of journaling, and I hadn't really thought of journaling as a shamanic tool.
And it is. It's a great way to process emotions, and it's our backlog of emotions that make us split from ourselves and also ultimately make us sick. So we really, it's nothing wrong with having an emotion. The key to it is to acknowledge it, own it. So, you know, you're super jealous of a sibling. That's okay. That's human. That's all right. You know, just acknowledge it. Journal it out. Be as graphic and as true to yourself as you can when you write. Even if it's just 5 or 10 minutes, grab a pen, you know, and a piece of paper, or grab your laptop, and don't spell check, by all means. Don't go back and read. Just, you know, stream of consciousness. Get it out. How do you feel about what happened at work this morning? Or how do you feel about that relationship that went up in smoke 10 years ago? It's whatever's really troubling you. Or, on the other hand, sometimes whatever you're really, you know, thrilled about or grateful for. So, you know, people need to learn to get those emotions to move through their body and on out, like grieving over a loss, maybe the loss of a pet or the loss of a partner or the loss of a family member or the loss of a position, loss of a job right now. Lots of people, you know, having terrible financial problems. And you want to move those things out as rapidly as you can. And that's why I urge journaling and meditating, because they both accomplish that. They both tend to clear our emotional body.
Okay. So to me, it's like, wow, hello, the light goes on. We've got this stuff going on. Life is going to bring us the yin and the yang, the ups and downs. But if we're in a valley, we don't want it stuck inside of us. So it's kind of like our journal becomes the volunteer bearer of our pain.
Oh, that's beautifully stated, Ken. That's quite poetic.
Thank you. Yeah, so folks, it's like, wow, that piece of white paper, it has much more to offer you than you ever realized.
Right, and we just don't think of it that way.
No, but if you had at the top of the piece of paper words that said, I'm here to hold your pain, please fill me with your pain so you can be free.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And of course, it's like the paper is fine with that. There's no 12-step group for paper that's got emotional issues.
And I'm big on 12-step. I really am. I started there. That was one of my first points of recovery. I when I woke up that day with cancer when I was 25 and I was trying to figure out what was wrong with me, one of the first glimmers I had was, ooh, I wonder if I've got some addictions here. I had a hunch I was band-aiding things with drugs and alcohol. You know, I thought it was pretty light, but it wasn't. You know how we kid ourselves about that kind of thing. And I did go to a 12-step program and get clean right away. And what a difference that made. I got some clarity. And see, that gave me enough clarity to think about meditating and journaling. I'll tell you another thing that a 12-step program did for me and will for anyone is it gives us back, for those of us that have lost our spiritual connection, it's a great place to regain it. They're amazingly spiritual places. I mean, amazing.
Mm. Wow. To me, that's wonderful.
Yeah, well, you know, their rooms are filled with love, and there's all that camaraderie and acceptance and people who really get you. It's really healing.
And something else that was interesting, too, in my experience around that was that a person gets to express and gets to be listened to, and the people don't have to make comments. It's not about how to fix this.
It's about expressing, right.
Yeah, and one of the healers that I studied with, she had a crying baby in her lap that she took from mother because the mother was a little embarrassed, and she just was present with the baby and acknowledged, you're moving your arms, you're moving your legs, you're pushing, you're crying, and I'm here, tell me your story.
Right.
And after a couple minutes, the baby stopped, and she went on to explain that it's not so important that we be understood as much as it is that someone is actually listening to us in a way that they are connected to us.
Oh, that's beautiful. That is, and that's really accurate. That's really true.
And I saw that in the 12-step stuff that I've participated in. And it was like, oh, wow, no wonder this is helpful.
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
So, and then one of the things that I'm curious about, sometimes people in a 12-step group, they end up substituting. They might not be drinking anymore, but they're smoking a lot or drinking caffeine like crazy, neither of which, in my opinion, are any good for us. And so I'm not sure of what helps to go beyond that, like the 12-step helped you for a while, and then you went on into a bunch of other studies.
I did, and it was the meditation that carried me. I was so enthralled. I couldn't believe what meditation did for me. Oh, my word. I still remember my meditation teacher. I ran into him. And by the way, let me just talk about meditation for a minute, and let me just get up my soapbox here. As I said, it's the single most important thing I've ever done for myself in my life, and it's just critical that people have a tool like that they can clear themselves. So, there are four states of consciousness, and we're in the waking state right now. That's where we talk and, you know, connect. Then there's the sleep state. We know what that feels like. And then there's the dream state. We know when we're there. But our culture is the first in history that doesn't teach its children how to meditate, which is the fourth state of consciousness. And it's a huge oversight, a huge gap, and it leaves us basically unprotected and unable to clear ourselves, recharge ourselves, revitalize ourselves, you know, and get clarity. And so I really encourage people to learn, and you do need to learn from a real live teacher, not from a book or a tape. I forever used to send people, they would ask me or email me, and I would find a meditation teacher for them in their area. And then they reconnect with me, and they'd say, well, I can't afford it. It's $2,500. And I'm like, you're kidding. So I finally can just went back to teaching. I had stopped a long time ago, but I started again here about a year ago. And, you know, I'm so enthralled with the Internet and with all of the amazing advantages that whole system gives us. So what I did was I taught at a workshop and had it videoed. And so I come into people's living room and I teach them. You know, they get my meditation download. They join me when it's good for them, when it's handy for them. Maybe they work, you know, nights and want to do it at, you know, 3 a.m. That's fine. And I literally am in their living room with them, teaching them, and the whole thing takes, you know, a little over an hour.
Wow.
And I assign them a mantra that I've chosen for them that resonates with them, and away we go. And it's just like falling off a log. It's so simple. And so people know, my students never say to me, oh, I'm trying to meditate. That means that they aren't meditating. Well, it means that there's something's wrong with the system.
Yeah.
You know, and the ways we used to meditate 50, 100 years ago, they're great. They don't work for people trying to learn now because it's too hard. Our world is too chaotic, too full of people. There are too many people on the planet. We have too many toxins, environmental toxins, that interfere with the ability of someone just to go sit and focus on their breath. And someone who learned it, you know, a long time ago, they'll do fine with it. But for the rest of us, we need a mantra, because a mantra actually leads you to that space.
Wow. Well,
you know, where you can achieve clarity.
Ah, geez. Deborah, I feel like we're just getting started, and we've blazed through our hour together here. This is this is quite a treat. I just want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to share with us and remind the listeners, go to www.deborahkingcenter.com and open this pathway in your life. You're going to love it.
Let me say one more thing, Ken. Let me remind them to be sure to pick up a hard copy of Be Your Own Shaman and get it from Amazon or Barnes & Noble, and that there are copies there. Disregard the back order warning that they really have arrived.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
So nice of you to have me on.
It's a distinct pleasure.
No, but such a pleasure chatting with you. You've got such wisdom, and it's really really exciting for me to connect with you.
Well, thank you. That's mutual, Deborah. And I just wish you all the best. We will be staying in contact.
Take a look at my event schedule. I think I'm going to be very close to your area here next month.
Oh, okay. Will do.
Uh-huh.
I'd love to see you
in person. All right. I'd love to see you in person.
Thank you.
All right.
And to you, Deborah, and to my beloved listeners, God bless, and goodbye for now.
Take care.